So, give me one sec. We'll kick things off. Hi, everybody. I think Robert is joining as well. I think he also needs the link. One moment, let me get that to him. Copy. All right. Thank you all for joining. Let me send this off to Robert and we'll get going. Connor, Stephanie's in the waiting room. I promoted her, but I don't know if she saw the note. Is she, I'm assuming she needs to join, correct? For the
For
zone.
the zoning articles, yes, but
Yeah.
she may just be waiting for that portion of your night.
Okay. Well, I just promoted her anyway. Come on in. Here we go. All right. So let me send that to Robert. And as we have quorum, I'm going to kick off here. So, hi, everybody. Welcome to, I have no idea what day it is, the October 19th FinCom meeting. In keeping with an act relative to extending certain COVID-19 measures adopted during the state of emergency, this meeting will be conducted remotely over Zoom, as you all can see. Attendance by board slash commission members will be remote, and remote attendance shall count towards quorum. The meeting will be broadcast live and recorded on ECAT. I'm going to go down our list to do a roll call vote to officially open the meeting. Make sure I've got everybody captured on here. Oh, there's Robert. All right, Diaz.
Diaz present.
Olson.
Olson present.
Jenkins will come back to you. Vimosi.
Vimosi present.
Petro.
Petro present.
And Jenkins.
Jenkins is finally here.
Welcome to it, sir. Jenkins is present. And I am, Helen is present. Is that everybody? One, two, three, four. Mike. Left five, six, okay. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, perfect. Hi, everybody. All right, we are officially in session. Tonight's agenda is our normal dog and pony for warrant article reviews for the upcoming November 13th town meeting. We do have one piece of committee meeting minutes to review and vote on, and then any subsequent discussion or questions about those two items. So I'm going to kick off by diving into the warrant articles. I did just get an updated, I have not been in my email all day, but I did get an updated one from Elizabeth at 2:45 or so. So I'm going to forward that on to everybody. I don't think there's much changed in those, Connor, or maybe some financial numbers
Yeah,
final ones.
there's just detail, and I believe that that was emailed to everyone at the same time. So
Oh, it was actually, yeah, I see it
yes,
now.
I think the committee received it because we
All right,
were
perfect.
sensitive to the fact that we were giving it to you the day you were meeting.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. That's considerate. So with that, I'm going to go down the list. Connor, Stephanie, Wendy, is there anything you want to start off with ahead of time? I've reviewed these for the most part, the ones that have pieces that are probably going to be in your wheelhouse or closer to the back half. So, is there anything you guys want to share before we dive right in?
If you just want to go through each one, it's fine by us.
Yeah.
It's a
Okay.
very short warrant.
I have a quick question. Are we being, is this session being taped? No, it is.
Yep. ECAT's on. Joe's on.
Okay.
So no swearing. I can swear. I'm the chair, but everybody else
Okay,
can.
so then, so for a point of correction, is the town meeting on the 4th of November?
So there is a lot of voting in the next 4 weeks. We have a town meeting Monday night, the 23rd, devoted entirely to the building project, but I hope to see all you folks at. There is a debt exclusion on November 4th associated with that building project. And then the warrant you have tonight is the regular special fall town meeting, which is just our
Okay.
more routine business. So this is the warrant for tonight is related to Monday, November 13th.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot. Thank you for that clarification. So let's start with Article 1, Transfer to Stabilization Fund. To see if the town will vote to raise and appropriate or appropriate by transfer from available funds a sum of money to be placed in the stabilization fund or take any other action relative thereto. This article moves approximately 25% of available free cash to the stabilization fund in accordance with the town's financial management guidelines and the ongoing goal to build up reserves. Do you have a dollar amount for what that 25% is going to be, Connor?
Approximately, yes. So we estimate free cash in the area of about $3 million. That'll be certified before town meeting. So you can reliably estimate about $750,000 to be the transfer into the stabilization fund. So the last balance of the stabilization fund was $5.8 million. So this will put us kind of comfortably at about $6.5 million in stabilization, which is a great thing for the committee's edification. When we established the fund balance and management policies that call for this transfer annually, our stabilization fund was in the area about $1.5 million. And so we've more than quadrupled it in the past 7 years and really improved our financial standing, which is important as we head into the next 2 years where COVID era financial assistance expires.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments, discussion on Article 1 from the committee? Seeing none, I will take a recommendation.
Move to recommend to Petro.
Do I have a second?
Second, Jane. Yes.
I mean, Janapoli's not here tonight, so this is going to be a knife fight pretty quick. Let's go down the list. Diaz.
Diaz, yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Vimosi.
Vimosi's, yes.
Petro.
Petro, yes.
And Helen is a yes. Article 1 passes or is recommended. Article 2, payment of bills from a prior fiscal year. This one's pretty self-explanatory. Are there any yet, Wendy? Do we have any currently sitting in the balance? Okay.
None so far.
Skipping right past 2 then. Article 3, amend the fiscal year 2024 budget. See if the town will vote to raise and appropriate or appropriate by transfer from available funds a sum of money to amend the following fiscal year 2024 departmental budgets. I won't read through the figures. You guys have this as well. But the explanation is this article will amend the fiscal year 2024 operating budget as needed before setting the tax rate. The accounting department requires additional funding for a clerical wage adjustment. Inspectional services require supplemental funding for the alternate plumbing and gas inspector and a clerical wage adjustment. The Bristol County Agricultural High School assessment was higher than estimated, and Public Works requires additional funding for utility costs related to Moreau Hall and Center School, which have reverted to town custody from the school department. I have one question on this, which is Moreau Hall Center School utilities. Did we just estimate based on existing? I mean, it's an estimate, so obviously we estimated. But did you base that on existing rates, or is there something that came up out of left field on those?
Yeah. So at the end of the year, we had bills totaling just gas bills alone. Right now, we have a credit on some of the electric accounts. But the gas bills totaled about 18,000. And that was really though from the winter to the spring. So this 10,000 is just an estimate. You know, Center School is going to not use the kind of utilities that we used last year.
Right.
So at this time, it's just an estimate. So we could be coming back for more. There are also some departments that are on my watch list, but didn't feel like at this point in the year it warranted supplementing the budget. We're just going to take kind of a wait and see approach, but you may, get a reserve fund transfer request for some of the other departments. I know in particular, like inspectional services, the plumbing and gas inspector line is, it's trending relatively high right now, but that could level off as winter is coming. So we're just going to wait and see on that. We could get a reserve fund transfer for that. And I know, with the fire department, obviously, if they have injured on duty requests, things like that, we'll be just keeping an eye on that throughout the year. And we may be back.
Awesome. Okay. Anyone else have any questions or any comments, discussion about Article 3? Once. Seeing none.
Motion to recommend to Petro.
Do I have a second?
Second, Jenkins.
I have to go quick or else you guys are going to cut me off. Diaz.
Diaz, yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Vimosi.
Vimosi is yes.
Petro?
Yes.
And Helen is a yes. Three is recommended. All right. Article 4, supplement fiscal 2024 capital budget. 1.3 million and some change. This article addresses additional capital needs for fiscal year 2024 that were not funded at the annual town meeting in May. The only question I have is the why. Was this just stuff that was still up in the air at the town meeting in May, or is this is subsequent realized needs for the capital budget, or was this things that were needed but just waited on after May, as we typically do because there's a priority list?
Right. So a couple of things with that. So typically with the police cruisers, we usually wait until the fall till free cash is certified, because that's something we usually pay for out of free cash. Yeah. So that's sort of on a fall cycle. The IT, the computers for the IT department, those are usually on a fall cycle. The school technology, they had a request of $250,000. So what we did at the time at the town meeting was we said, all right, we'll do half of that now. And then we'll do the other half in the fall once free cash is certified. Because you may recall, like, we had a pretty significant capital budget last spring. So we did push some of these off into the fall. Okay.
Wendy, I'm lucky I remember my name most days. So... So, like, you would think after 7 years, I'd remember that the police cruisers come in the fall, but no, not a clue. Didn't remember that. Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure to give you the opportunity to explain it, just in case anybody out there is watching.
Yeah, thank you. The fire department.
Oh, sorry. Okay. No, go ahead.
Do you want me to go down the list, or I'll take the questions though as you have them? That's fine.
No, I was just actually going to go further down the list, but if you're going through it, that's great. Thanks.
So fire department, outfitting the brush truck. This actually was a request last spring. It got added in later on, and the list had already been assembled from all the requests, and it got omitted inadvertently. So that's why this is on here now. We probably would have done this one back in the spring. The health and community services inspectional vehicle. Last spring, we voted $60,000 for that vehicle. They wanted to purchase like an electrical, EV model, but they weren't able to get one. So they ended up getting a hybrid vehicle instead. And that hybrid vehicle ended up being like just a little over $30,000. So Health and Community Services, they were looking to get one this year and one the next year, but because the price was so good, they went back to Capital, and Capital voted to allow for the second vehicle plus an additional $5,000. So this $34,835 is basically what's left over from the $60,000 plus another $5,000. The Town Hall EV charging stations, we had just put those off at the time. Because we didn't, it was a significant expense. We figured we'd wait until free cash was certified. There wasn't an immediate need for those at that time. And then the financial accounting software replacement, that was really just an estimate initially in the capital plan. We had to vote to amend that. Sorry, my dog is a little needy. Originally, that was $450,000, and over the summer, we met with several software vendors, and there's, one particular vendor that we really like, and we knew that was just a placeholder to begin with. So the $750,000 is sort of the upper limit that we think we could end up spending. It's a combination of what it's going to cost to convert our data for all the modules. And we have numerous modules. I mean, we have general ledger, payroll, purchasing, property tax receivables, utility billing. So we have quite a few modules. So it's for data conversion, and it's town and school. So it's the data conversion, but also it's going to be software that's in the cloud. So there'll be, an annual fee. And once we do sign on and they start that process, we are going to have to pay that fee for the year up front. and we don't have money budgeted for that this fiscal year. We'll also have to keep our other vendor on for a few years until we were able to fully complete that migration. And that will probably be a combination of borrowing and available funds. Not exactly sure what the mix will be on that yet. The next item is, this is sort of what we call the non-capital capital. So it's the capital requests that don't really fit in the budget because they're sort of a one-time thing, but they don't meet that $25,000 threshold that goes to the capital planning committee. So we have three items for that. And the first one is matching funds for the fire department for a grant that they're getting. And then the second one is we need to replace the town hall copier. So that's 8,000. And town clerk records management. Town clerk's office has done a really great job with managing the records up in the attic. And there are numerous boxes that are slated for destruction, and a lot of them have to be shredded. And so we have to pay for that disposal. This 5,000 will allow them to get rid of all the records that they have, but then it will give them a little bit left over so that if they have any other records in the future, or they can carry it over to next year and use it then. It just gives them some flexibility without building it permanently into their budget.
Thank you, Wendy. Very comprehensive. Shireen, you had a question.
It was answered. Thank you.
Okay. Nailed it. See? Nightingale. My God. All right. Does anyone else have any other questions or any other discussion points for Article 4?
Just one question. The EV, is that for charging stations? Is that public or for town use or both?
Good question.
It's intended for town use, but I think depending on the model we go with, there may be an option there for public pay and use, but I haven't looked into the specs there. DPW has been managing it. I apologize. I don't have the exact answer.
No, I think it's a great step forward. It's a good thing. So I'm just curious.
How many are planned in this 100K?
There's only two. So a lot of that cost is related to just the actual electrical work required to get it from where the service is to where the stations would be. So there would be site work and other costs associated with it.
Got it. Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, I will take a recommendation.
Motion to recommend to Petra.
Do I have a second?
What? I'm muted. Sorry. Someone could have beat me to it. Second by Rock Jenkins.
All righty. Let's get on the list. Diaz.
Diaz is yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Vimosi.
Vimosi, yes.
Petro.
Yes.
And Helen is yes. Thank you all. That's four. All right, on to five. One of my favorite places in town, Ames Free Library roof restoration, to see if the town will vote in accordance with the recommendation of the Community Preservation Committee to appropriate the sum of $485,658 from available community preservation funds for the purpose of restoring the roof at Ames Free Library, located at, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or take any other action relative thereto. This article would provide $485,658 in funding to replace and restore the roof of the Ames Free Library. The roof system throughout the library, both the original 1883 H.H. Richardson design section and the circa 1931 children's wing, is failing and in need of comprehensive restoration. The main library roof was last restored more than 50 years ago. This work will fund a historically appropriate restoration of the library roofs and perform other flashing gutters and roof-related masonry repairs as needed. Connor, Wendy, Stephanie, I don't know who is the best to speak to this one, but if anyone has anything to share.
Definitely, certainly the most knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Three.
I figured.
Yeah, I can talk to this. As you just read in the explanation, the library roof is failing, needs replacing. There's water damage inside. They're seeking $485,658 from CPA funds. The project is twice that amount, and they will be matching. The library will be matching the $485,000 with their own funds. The reason for putting it on fall town meeting is so that they can go out to bid over the winter and get started as soon as the weather improves in the spring.
Excellent. I assume that part of the cost here is it's the nature of the roof itself, right? It's similar to all the other H.H. Richardson buildings in town. The roofs themselves are obviously very iconic. So there's a significantly added cost to keep that within the same realm, correct?
Yes, correct. Yep. And one of the things they're committed to is keeping the color the same.
Oh, cool. Okay. Excellent. Any other questions, discussions?
Sure. Just a question, Stephanie. Are they going after any historic grant money?
I don't believe so. And usually, I mean, we found within the town offices through the town hall projects and things that those funds are difficult to get, and they don't always cover a significant portion of the cost. Mm-hmm. But the CPC really likes to see applications come in where there is a match of some sort, and yeah. To have such a significant match on a project is pretty impressive.
Just another question. Who keeps an inventory there are a lot of old buildings in our town. Does anyone ever keep an inventory, or is there, because this is a public facility, so is there any inventory or capital plan for any of these business or any of these locations, facilities?
Is this a public building?
So the library is a quasi-public entity, but the library is privately managed.
Yeah.
So there's a municipal contribution to it, but there is a board of directors that is equally 50-50 appointed, half by the select board representing the public, and then the other half from the trustees from the endowment. Their treasurer usually comes to the budget presentations every spring. They have what looks like a pretty comprehensive management plan, but I can't speak to what their capital improvement plan looks like. Mm-hmm. As far as municipal or publicly owned assets, yes, we would include any kind of long-term financial liability for our properties, whether they're historic or not. So Town Hall is the most obvious example in the capital improvement program. We do, frequently look to CPA if there's a capital outlay needed for a building that's historic. So at Town Hall, we had about $1.5 million CPA fund a few years back for the exterior preservation and restoration. And then we would kind of combine that with other capital funds and in-house labor to do things like septic and drainage work so that we could get more repairs done than we otherwise would be able to afford out of just the general fund capital budget. But we do have an inventory of all of our public property. And then the planning department through its various boards has, there are historic districts in town. That's obviously a very different kind of inventory, but there's a variety of different ways that public and private property in Easton are identified for historic significance.
Well, this, Stephanie, from your analysis or just your viewpoint, you think this building, the roof will last through the winter? We haven't had a bad winter in a while, and we're due one.
Oh, don't jinx it.
I'm trying not to, but it's good to know.
I am not a roofer.
Are you a weather person?
Myself, but I believe the library believes it could make it through the winter, or they would have been speeding up a little bit more. So, and I would like to just add, when I talked about the grants, Bob, that we, in fact, the town offices, the town hall project did benefit from an MHC grant.
Excellent.
But it wasn't a significant portion of the cost, but it certainly helped to offset some of the cost.
Sure.
And that again was obtained through my department, Wayne Beitler, who is the community planner.
Sometimes I know it's a lot of work to put in for those grants, and it's very competitive. Sometimes it's just not worth it. But whenever you get one, you're to be congratulated, because they're all competitive, very competitive.
Yeah, they are. Thank you.
Robert, I swear if we get 65 inches of snow, you're coming over to snowblow. I'm just
saying. Well, oh.
Don't say that, Patrick.
I'm not saying that at all. You're the one who brought that evil.
I think Ian Dunbar might have a word with you.
Jeez. All right.
Robert just asked a really interesting question. Connor, you were answering it, but I'm not sure if you it made me curious. Not public buildings, but do we have a roster, an inventory of buildings to be preserved? Buildings, I don't know what you want to call it, buildings of historical significance or what.
So I can answer that question. Through using CPA money and also using an MHC grant that the town benefited from several years ago, we have an inventory of historic houses in Easton. What that is, you go out, you have someone who's qualified to evaluate the properties, to look at their historical significance and determine their historic importance. And they develop an inventory card for each of those properties. And I think we have several hundred at this point. And it helps the Historical Commission when they're making a decision as to whether a property that's subject to the demolition review is historically significant, and then if it's preferably preserved.
Interesting. Are there enough properties on there to justify a proactive plan?
Well, most of those are private properties. And as Connor pointed out, even the iconic buildings in Easton, the H.H. Richardson buildings, are privately managed.
Yeah, no, I absolutely get that. I was just sort of extending where Robert was coming from. If there was a obviously, if it's you know, only 100 buildings or whatnot, it's too small a number. But I was just curious if there was a way to sort of look forward, because there would often be use of CPC funds to keep these historical structures intact. So I was just wondering if there was if that created an impetus for a proactive plan. But
well, just to be clear, when we're talking about you know, historical commission purview or inventories of private homes that are historically significant, those are not properties that we would typically see CPA funds go towards, right? We don't, CPA funds are not, unless they were being converted into maybe an affordable unit, that would be a neat, fun, historical and affordable housing project. But the larger, you know, six-figure, seven-figure capital grants from CPA are typically going towards these quasi-public but privately maintained properties. And there's not hundreds of those. I would imagine that's a substantially smaller number. The CPA committee does maintain a priority parcel and priority, like strategic priority plan for, you know, these are the assets that are not owned publicly in Easton that have historical or open space significance to the community, that I think is actually public on their webpage. So the CPA does routinely go through those kind of checks of significant property from their lenses of recreation, open space, historic preservation, and affordable housing, to have that priority list so that if things hit the market, whether for 61A purposes or some other mechanism, that they have an informed plan.
Cool.
Good to know.
Didn't mean to sidetrack us. Sorry, Patrick.
No, good question.
It's okay. So what I hear is we have a lot of folks who want to start going to CPA meetings. Fun.
I do have a question, Connor. How is the CPC funded?
That's a great question. So Community Preservation Act funds in Massachusetts are adopted through a local option. Or I think, Wendy, was it a ballot vote at the time or a town meeting local option?
No, I believe it was a ballot vote.
Yeah, it might have been a ballot vote. So Easton was one of the first in Massachusetts to adopt the CPA program. So it's a state law that basically said to cities and towns, "You, this is voluntary. You can adopt it for yourselves." And it's a surtax of anywhere between 0 and 3% of property taxes above 100, the excluding the first $100,000 of your assessed value. So somewhere near 2.5% and 3% of whatever your annual tax bill, you'll see it on your tax bill, CPA surtax. It's a few hundred dollars a year in most cases, and it goes into a dedicated fund that can only be used for four purposes, which is affordable housing, historic preservation, open space acquisition, and recreation. And the wisdom, in my view, of that law is that those are critical priorities for communities, but ones that it, when they have to compete in a general fund capital program that's limited by Prop 2.5, those things very regularly lose out to the prioritization over, you know, paying for jaws of life for the fire truck, mm-hmm. right? And so it creates a dedicated fund to make those investments. Easton, to the credit of voters, before I was around, was one of the first and went to the full 3%. And so that's paid enormous dividends to the community. Okay. Program also does a match. The state does a match. It used to be 100%. That tapered off a little bit, but they've actually been doing quite a bit better in recent years. Wendy, Stephanie, I think some years we've been seeing closer to 50-60%. Is that accurate? So we're pulling in 2+ million a year locally, and the state's contributed 1 million. So it's a really incredible tool to fund some of these projects. A lot of the things when you drive around Easton now that people think of that make Easton special, a lot of it can be pointed directly to CPA, whether it's the Quesit Gardens at the library, the Quesit House, quite substantial amount of repairs to keep Oak James Hall open, shovel works.
The new signs that we have.
Yes, those were a Mass Works grant. But another great way to you know, build a sense of place, the new pickleball, basketball, tennis courts, just a lot of really amazing programs that would not have otherwise been able to be funded. The acquisition of hundreds and hundreds of acres of property. So I didn't mean to, you know, be a fanboy for CPA, but it's an incredible program and it's done a tremendous amount of value for Easton.
So thank you. So my question really came from the CPC putting out $485,000, and then it prompted the question, well, how is that being replenished, right? So your answer gave me my answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the new CPA fan club? Look, you're all laughing. You guys,
Tom Broussard's going to be psyched.
I forgot. God. He's sending you all emails as we speak. He's watching this live, I'm sure. Any other questions, any other discussions, any other comments on, I forgot what number we're on.
Five.
Motion to recommend to Petro.
Seconded by Jenkins.
All right, let's go down the list. Diaz.
Diaz is yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Camosi.
Camosi's yes.
Petro.
Yes.
I am a yes, and I owe them like $4, so I'll be contributing my own bit of funding to the roof project when I drop books off this weekend. All right, on to six. Clifford Grant Trail Access Acquisition. To see if the town will vote to authorize the town to acquire by gift, purchase, or eminent domain a certain 5.65-acre parcel of property located at 57R Randall Street and listed on Assessor's Map 25U as Lot 58, a plan of which is on file with the town clerk's office for conservation and passive recreational purposes. And further, to appropriate a sum of funds not to exceed $37,000 from the town's community preservation fund or any other source for such acquisition, along with any and all costs incidental thereto, and furthermore to authorize the town to convey any and all conservation restrictions as may be required for such purposes. The longstanding and heavily used primary trail access from the Easton School Complex to the Clifford G. Grant Reservation crosses this 5.65-acre landlocked, privately owned parcel. This article would authorize the select board to purchase the entire parcel for $37,000 as an addition to the Clifford G. Grant Reservation for open space conservation and recreational uses. Questions, comments, discussion? This one seems pretty straightforward to me.
We got nothing. I think everyone's on the same page. Stephanie, if you want to, I think this is back to you. Hold on, DePietro. I'm still talking. Dear God. I think this is back to you. If there's anything else you want to include on this one seems so simple and makes sense on paper. I don't know if there's anything really else to add.
I think it says it all.
This might be a, this is a record. All right, DePietro, what was that you were saying a moment ago?
I didn't. Motion to recommend DePietro.
Give a second.
Seconded by Jenkins.
Diaz.
Diaz is yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Famosi.
Famosi's yes.
DePietro.
Yes.
And Helen is a yes on to seven. Transfer to injured on duty indemnity fund. Can't believe I pronounced that correctly. See if the town will vote to raise and appropriate or appropriate by transfer from available funds a sum of money to be placed in the injured on duty indemnity fund or take any other action relative thereto. The injured on duty indemnity fund was established on the November 8th, 2021 special town meeting with an initial appropriation of $100,000. The balance is currently $50,000 and needs to be replenished. Seems pretty much black and white. Any questions, discussion on this one?
Is it, do we usually keep a balance, Connor, of $100,000? Is that usually, is price
going? So I think that's what we're aiming for. It's such a new concept and fund that we don't have a kind of long history to point to, but yes, we feel more comfortable at that level. That just gives flexibility to the town in case there's any unforeseen or longer term injuries or incidental costs related to it, that we can fund that rather than, you know, seeking an emergency transfer from finance committee or something of that nature.
Excellent.
Right. And it could be used for police or fire.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. Any questions on this one?
Technical question on the article itself. It doesn't, the article doesn't actually specify 50,000.
It that doesn't, would be in the motion.
That would be addressed in the motion, but that's a fair point. Wendy, is I mentally filled in that it would go back to 100. Is there a specific number yet, or that's going to depend on the final tally of certified free cash?
Yeah, I think putting it back to 100 would be sufficient.
Okay.
So 50,000.
Good question, Mike.
And so my follow-up question would be, are we setting precedent? Are we setting up a new fund, actually a new trust rather, because it's rolling from year to year? If we're carrying a balance, it's more of a trust than a budgetary operating account. So are we setting up precedent that we would like to have this new trust and have a minimum balance of 50,000 and or maybe we are adding 25,000 each year or 50,000 to it each year? Are we growing it? Like, what are we doing with it?
So the fund is established. I'm not sure if it's technically called a trust or not, but it was established through, I believe, either town meeting or select board policy a couple of years back. And it doesn't set a minimum balance. It's but it does roll year to year, to your point. And it's for this dedicated use only. And I can try and find the policy, but I believe in the policy, it's quite restrictive what costs are eligible, and they can only be dispersed. It can't be dispersed administratively. It would need to go through a review with Wendy's department to certify that the funds are appropriate, and the select board would need to publicly vote on them.
Okay, but it speaks nothing about the minimum balance.
I can check. I just need a moment to pull up the policy book.
Okay.
I don't believe there's anything regarding a minimum balance. Like, it is relatively new. There was we had to accept a Mass General Law to allow the establishment of it, and it's considered like a reserve fund, a revolving fund.
Okay.
And so we had started initially with a $100,000 balance, and we've only used it once. But at the time that we did use it, we used it for $50,000.
Right.
For the police department, and that was a tough year for them. In fact, I think earlier in the year we had actually supplemented that budget.
Okay.
So the 100,000 could easily be used up in a year, but I think 100,000 is sufficient at this time.
Okay.
Just sort of keep that as the rolling balance. And, you know, as time goes by, maybe we'll choose to, you know, increase it to 150, but I think 100 is fine for now.
And specifically, I was able to pull the policy up as a section that addresses it, balances, and there's no minimum. It says any balance of a fund shall carry over from year to year unless specific amounts are released to the general fund by vote of the select board upon recommendation from the town administrator, and a finding that the amounts released are not immediately necessary for the purpose of a fund and not required for the expenses in the foreseeable future.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I had to get to the mute button. Anyone else? This is way more dialogue than I expected on these relatively straightforward articles. You guys are doing your due diligence tonight. I appreciate it.
Questions?
Several of those.
So seeing none, I will take a motion.
Motion to recommend DePietro.
Okay.
Seconded by Jenkins.
Literally can't even finish. Okay. Diaz?
Diaz is yes.
Olson?
Olson, yes.
Jenkins?
Jenkins, yes.
Bamosi?
Bamosi, abstention.
Abstention. Pietro?
Yes.
And Helen is a yes. Ready? On to Article 8. This one is one of those ones that reading it would break me. So I'm going to go, we've all received this. I am not reading the actual verbiage of the article. I'm going to read the explanation though, because that's in English and doesn't have a bunch of scale numbers broken into it. Explanation. Article 8, Street Acceptance, Barron's Drive and Cooper Lane. Barron Drive and Cooper Lane are rights of way that provide access to 26 residential lots in the Barron Estates residential subdivision approved by the Planning and Zoning Board in 2019. Barron Drive and Cooper Lane were inspected recently by the Planning Department and Department of Public Works and found to be in good repair and in accordance with the as-built plan. My question is, I guess this very well might be in the article, and when my brain broke trying to read it, I was like, this is just, I assume, just a boilerplate. This has hit a certain stage and now it's being accepted by the town. Stephanie?
So the subdivision was approved such that the road serving the subdivision would be public ways, and the roads are completed. The subdivision is completed. All the lots have been built out, and the road has been constructed to the town standards and inspected and confirmed to be so.
Got it.
So it is ready for acceptance.
Okay.
Just any question? Just a question, Stephanie. Prior to us accepting this, so were they privately plowed roads?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Until the time that the town accepts it, the developer or the property owners are responsible for the maintenance of the road.
Can we give them any other roads? Do they want to take any other roads off our hands by any chance?
We're doing our best to promote subdivisions with private roadways.
Sounds great. Although they miss out on the brine, which we all appreciate is the greatest thing that's ever happened to this town. So just throwing that out there. Any other questions? I'm punchy tonight. I'm sorry, everybody. Seeing none, there's a bearded guy in my corner that I'm
Motion to recommend to Pietro.
Second by Jenkins.
Diaz.
Diaz is yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins is a yes.
Mosi.
Sorry about that.
Most easy,
yes.
Pietro?
Yes.
And I am a yes. All right. On to 9. Zoning amendment, section 235-47, floodplain overlay district. This amendment brings the town's floodplain overlay district into compliance with current FEMA requirements for local floodplain management. The amendment does not change or expand the floodplain overlay district, which correlates to the FEMA flood insurance rate map, nor does it affect pre-existing lawfully permitted structures located in a floodplain. The intent of the requirement is to limit development within high-risk flood areas in order to reduce the likelihood of bodily injury and property damage from floodwaters. Compliance with these requirements is necessary for the town to remain eligible to participate in the National
flood insurance program. The NFIP allows property owners with structures located in a special flood hazard area to purchase flood insurance at a discounted rate. My question on this, to usurp everybody else, where does one go to find if their house is in one of these specially designated flood hazard areas? I ask because there's a stream that literally flows through my basement. So I want to make sure that if I'm in a discounted section, I want to buy that yesterday before, you know.
I think I'll answer the question about how it might affect you first. If you were in a floodplain, you would probably know that because if your house is financed, you would be required to have flood insurance. And yep. The flood insurance is discounted, but it is still generally what I know from talking to people over the years who've had to acquire flood insurance, especially in Easton, it's double what you would pay for normal property insurance. So you can imagine what it would cost if you couldn't get it at the discounted rate. How you find out if you don't know if you're in a flood district, there are two ways. FEMA has a website you can go to, and you can check your property there. We also have the overlay districts on our GIS maps. You have access to, I think the property viewer has the flood overlay district layer, and we can also check it for you in the office.
Yeah, I didn't just bring a bag of cash to the bank to get this house. So yeah, I definitely would know about it. But there may be some people in town that did bring a bag of cash, so I don't want to exclude anyone.
That is true.
Petro might have brought a bag of cash. Who knows? We'll assume. All right. So that's my only question on that one. Thank you very much for that. That makes me feel slightly better. Does anyone else have any questions on Article 9?
Patrick, nobody's asking this question, but I'd like to raise it and answer it because the planning board members asked this. They wanted to know if these amendments would result in additional review that might hold up or elongate the permitting process in town. And the answer is no, because all of the review that's required by this zoning bylaw is incorporated in other review processes that take place when we're going through the permitting process.
Got it. I just reminded me there's one other question I had, which was there is a subsection about recreational vehicles in the actual supplement.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was actually calling out. If that's boats that happen to float away, or if that's like an ATV that happens to float away. I don't know if you have any light to shed on what section 9 actually refers to for recreational vehicles.
So if you hold on one moment, it's not nine. I have it right.
I think it's K, section K part.
Yes, nine. It's K9. Yep. So
not that I have, again, I don't have recreational vehicles littering my land, but I was just curious about what that might refer to.
So in this section, what it requires is all recreational vehicles to be placed on a site must be elevated and anchored in accordance with the zone's regulations for foundation and elevation requirements, or be on the site for less than 80 consecutive days, or be fully licensed and highway ready.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that part.
It's in the supplement.
I got it. It's in the further pieces. It's in the full where my eyes start to cross. Oh yeah. I see it there. Okay. Thank you. That's perfect. That covers that. Anyone else?
So I would like to paraphrase Article 9. So essentially this zoning amendment is to limit the develop others coming in to develop within high risk flood areas.
To reduce,
I'm just like paraphrasing because we said a lot, right? So we want to, folks can still build, right? But they need to be aware, or we are just limiting and we're saying, no, you can't build in this high risk flood area.
So what this amendment does, our zoning, our floodplain overlay district already does that. It already limits, development within a floodplain area to ensure that it's not obstructing the floodway, the flows of water. such that it would cause either additional flooding on-site or off-site flooding where it wouldn't normally have occurred.
Okay.
Our floodplain already does that. Our floodplain overlay district already does that. This is what happened was prior to 2020, the state was reviewing the various communities' models because FEMA had identified some discrepancies in the state's model bylaw upon which most municipalities' floodplain overlay district is based, including Easton's. So there were some discrepancies that would make those zoning bylaws not compliant with the FEMA requirements.
Okay.
And so this updates that. The restrictions already exist.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hearing I recommend to Petro.
I'm always trying to time it so that I can get there before you do, but you have this knack. Like the second
I like to keep you on your toes. And by the way, for anyone that was wondering, my house does not appear to be in what FEMA calls a
blank. Thank God. I was so worried. All right. Yeah, so that's a recommend. Do I have a second?
Second, Jenkins.
Jenkins, can you let us know before the end of the meeting if your house is also no, never mind. Diaz.
Diaz is yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Famosi.
Famosi is yes.
Petro.
Yes.
Helen is a yes. That is Article 9. And that, I think, is a wrap, y'all, because Article 10 is a holder. Connor, Wendy, Stephanie, we are happy you joined us today. Thank you so much for your time. We will let you guys go. If you have anything else to share before you depart, feel free. And we are going to vote on our meeting minutes.
No, just thank you.
Thank you. And I look forward to seeing all of you Monday night.
Heck yeah.
Same. Have a good night, guys.
Have a good night.
Thanks,
good
guys.
Night. Thank you.
All righty. Well, those guys flee the ship. Let me close out of this. Now on to meeting minutes. I forward these on. Does anyone have any changes, updates, edits, etc. to the Finance Committee meeting minutes from September 20th, 2023? I don't see any. So with that, I will take a motion.
Motion to accept, DePietro.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second?
Second by Jenkins.
All righty, let's go down the list. Diaz.
Diaz is yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Famosi.
Famosi, yes.
Petro.
Yes.
Helen is a yes. That's the whole show, y'all. We are done and dusted. So thank you all for joining today. We will do a motion to...
Motion to adjourn, DePietro.
1 second. We'll do a motion to adjourn in 1 second. I just want to say Monday, it is same old, right? Front of the auditorium, staring out at people while they discuss the special piece. Toss me a line. If you can make it, if you can't make it, just let me know where you're going to be. It is not absolutely required that we be there, but it does look rad when we're all there. So just FYI. What was that you said a moment ago, Mike?
A motion to adjourn.
Sorry.
No, wait.
Sorry.
5 o'clock. We need to be there at 5, right?
Oh, yeah. So actually, good question. So let me pull it up. There is a pre-special town meeting that is 5 o'clock. That's for, I know, I didn't name it. That's literally what it is in my calendar. That's at Town Hall. That's for chair and vice chair. So that's for you and I. We can attend that. That's essentially just, it's a quick snapshot meeting to be like, here's what we're putting together. Here's so everyone knows what to expect, et cetera, et cetera. Then the actual meeting itself is, I think, starting at 6. Now I'm doubting myself. I think it's at 6. I'll double check.
That's this Monday the 23rd, yes?
Correct.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I will not be there. I'll miss you guys.
Tisk, tisk. That's fine. I will pull this up. The thing I forgot before Mike adjourns us is that I did put on the agenda to give everyone a chance for discussion and deliberation. It is at 6 p.m. The select board has a meeting at 6 p.m. Special town meeting for public safety and public works facilities replacement project is at 7 p.m. in the OA High School auditorium. So does anyone have anything else they'd like to share about either the meeting minutes or about the warrant articles we voted on? Those are the two things we can discuss in the context of tonight's meeting. And I'm assuming that's a no.
Motion to adjourn to Petra.
Does anyone want to hang out? We have a motion to adjourn.
Second by Jenkins.
All righty. Diaz.
Diaz, yes.
Olson.
Olson, yes.
Jenkins.
Jenkins, yes.
Mosi.
Mosi is yes.
Petro.
Yes.
And Helen is a yes. Thank you all. I appreciate you guys all attending tonight. We will see whoever can attend on Monday, and then we're going to do this, like, as we said, we're going to do this all again right at the beginning of November, so we'll see you all there as well. Thanks so much, all. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Good to see you.
Good night.